brought together to study your words and look at the things that are around us, Father. We ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to us even now. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus, him coming and dying on the cross for our sin. We thank you for that forgiveness, for the covering that he has allowed those who believe to be covered with. Father, we ask you would just anoint us with the ability to go and teach and to love and to express the acceptable day of the Lord in this our time. And Father, I'm amazed. I'm always amazed at just how much your love covers. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for that. Lord, we do pray for Ed. Father, we lift him up before you. We pray for Karen. Lord Jesus, ask that you would move mightily on her. Miss Leslie, Father, we know her and we love her. And we ask that you would just touch her body, cover them with the healing grace and the ability not just to walk in, but to walk through these trials. Lord, we thank you for that, saints. Lord, we pray for the folks that aren't here. Lord, so many things come up in our lives, so many things become preeminent in our thoughts. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help break down those barriers, Father, that you would touch those people that should be here, Father, that are needed for the growth and the edification of the body of Christ. Lord, just move mighty over that. Father, we do pray that the church, Lord, would awaken. Father, that your people, Father, would be touched and shaken to their very core. Lord Jesus, just to know where we're at and what you're doing. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So praise God. The beginning of Daniel 70th week, we started, I'm going to do a quick thing and then we're going to get into the resulting in real quick because we got into most of this last week. At the beginning of Daniel 70th week, he says that there's going to be a covenant that is confirmed, that there's going to be a contract signed with the people of Israel, the Hebrew people. And we don't know that we're ever going to really know when that signing takes place, but we do know that it will be a peace treaty that's signed for 7 years. There's a 7-year period, a link on that. And at the midpoint of that, at 42 months or 1,260 days, 3.5 years, right there, that covenant is broken. Now, the covenant is signed with many different nations, and from what I can tell, since the angel was talking to Daniel about the people of Israel, so he wasn't talking about so much the Gentile nations, so this covenant would have to be a covenant that is spoken to the broken family, all right? The family that was broken was Esau and Jacob, right? And so this covenant would be bringing those two parts from Isaac, right? Isaac had
Abraham.
Oh, well, it's after Abraham, so it's Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Yeah, thank you, because I'm bad with names sometimes. But Isaac, he had these two sons, right? Twins, and they were wrestling with each other even in the womb. And when they came out, Jacob eventually went his way. Esau went his way. Jacob came back into the land after so many years. The Lord changed his name from heel catcher Jacob to Israel, beloved of God. All right, and Esau just was always Esau. Out of both of these families, or both of these ends of the family where it branches off, 12 tribes were born unto Esau, and 12 tribes were born into Jacob. And those 12 tribes have been separated from that time. What the angel was expressing to Daniel, that Daniel, you're going to see, or you won't see, but in the end times, the beginning of the 70th week, somebody's going to show up and he's going to bring these two families back together. He's going to bring them right back to where they used to be, living under the same tent. Esau ended up being most of the, not the Israel people, but they began to be most of the modern-day Islamic nations. So we'll see a peace treaty that comes from the Islamic nations and from the Hebrew nations. Now those 24 groups are going to be brought together underneath this covenant. Okay? And sometime during the first 3.5 years, there will be some sort of temple built that the Hebrews will be able to sacrifice on the mount. All right. Now, what's the name of it?
Ararat.
No, that's where the Muslim temple is.
No.
The dome of the rock. Thank you. There is not a mountain there in Israel.
I can't call the
Sinai. Yep, Sinai. Thank you. And so on Mount Sinai, they'll be able to do this together. We already have a Muslim sanctuary there, and somewhere on that same Mount Plaza, that same place, the Hebrews are going to be able to have their sacrificial system set up on that very same spot. That's going to be part of this peace treaty. And as you know, I've talked about this before. I believe that the Abrahamic Accord, thank you. I keep calling it a covenant, but it's not. The Abrahamic Accord that's set up by Trump's son-in-law, can't call his name either.
Jared
Kushner, Mr. Kushner, might be the catalyst of this or that very contract itself. All right, so if indeed, as you're looking at the Islamic nations that have already agreed to sign this covenant that we know about, we may not know everybody who signed it. So it stands a very good chance we won't know about it. But if indeed this is it, that would mean that the 70th week has begun. I'm not telling you, as a matter of fact, that it has begun. But I'm saying that if this is that, all right, if the Abrahamic treaty that is signed, that is being signed right now, if that is the covenant that was spoken of by Daniel, then we've already entered into the 70th week. All right, that means we're into the 7 years of the revelation. And so in that, when these things happen to the world, there's going to be some things that become unveiled that will be happening. The New World Order. All right, and we went over that a couple of weeks ago, just a little bit of it, where we had the pyramid and had all the things that were coming in it, and the all-seeing eye at the beginning of it, and all those things. We see that unfolding. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. I'm a little lost on one thing here, and I think I'm just confused. Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
So Ishmael is not where the Muslim nations came from,
Ishmael wasn't of Abraham and Sarah.
Right.
So he never had part of the covenant.
Okay.
All right.
So then Isaac with Jacob and Esau, that is where the division. Okay.
Yes, because they were part of the whole covenant, right?
Okay.
Now Ishmael, he's another part of the Islamic nations, because he had 12 tribes come out of him, princes come out of him at the same time.
Okay, I think that's why I was just getting confused. I'm so sorry.
And the reason that I believe that it's Esau and Jacob, because they come out of the same covenant, all right? Remember, Ishmael was never a part of the covenant of the Abraham covenant, all right? He was put out. Abraham put them out and told them to go. And the angel of the Lord came and said unto his mom, Hagar. And he received a blessing. Absolutely. Yes. He received a blessing, but not the covenant. Because the thing was, this half-breed is not going to partake in the promises of God. The covenant of the land that came from God to Isaac. Right? To Jacob. Right? So there's that division in Isaac's house, Jacob and Ishmael. And to bring those back together into the same place, that would be the covenant that Daniel, because he's referring to his people. Gabriel came and he said, this is for your people, right? It's for the people of Israel. It's not for the people of the Islamic nation. So where did that division happen? It happened with Esau and Jacob, where the family got split. And so this will be bringing that family back together. Because God's always about family, right? And so that helps. Yes?
But Abraham's first child was also promised to be a great nation.
Yep. He's 12 tribes came out. 12 princes, not tribes. 12 princes came out of him. Yes. Yep. And so, but remember,
that's what I had confused also back when a church hosted an Islamic. I asked them, is it this Isaac and Ishmael's? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, the Muslims have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And I didn't put the Jacob and Esau together.
Well, what made me get to thinking about it being right there instead of at the other division with Abraham? Remember when Daniel was born in the timeline of history. And what the angel came and proclaimed to Daniel was, this is for thy people, Israel. Okay, so it has to come from that bloodline. Alright, the true descendants of Sarai and Abraham. Alright, not Abraham and Hagar.
Right.
So Van Halen had nothing to do with it. That was reaching there, wasn't it? And so, anyhow. If I'm right, and I could be wrong, all right? So I'm not saying that I'm this prophetic guy or anything like that. I'm just looking at the scripture and looking what things are being said. We'll know that in the beginning or towards the beginning of the end of the last, or the beginning of the end of the beginning of the end of time, I guess you'd call it, the beginning of the end of the church age, the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, we'll see some things that boil to the surface that have been boiling underneath for a long time. The New World Order is one of those things. It's the prince of the power of the air that has given authority unto people groups on the earth. Where do we get that evidence? Again, we've got to go back again to Daniel, because Gabriel was wrestling a prince of Persia. And everybody knows that an angelic host could take a prince of Persia and squish him like a tick. I mean, there'd be nothing to him. But this prince of Persia was so powerful that Gabriel just couldn't leave the fight. He had to wait until Michael, the archangel, came and picked up the fight for him so he could go and proclaim to Daniel the acceptable day. Right? So we get that these powers that are coming up are not necessarily powers that we see. There are powers behind the powers. There are the ten horns that are going to be coming up. Those are the what the world sees as the New World Order. Ten family groups that come up. And we went through that in the pyramid. But no. And we see that in the pyramid that we went over. In the church, in the body of Christ, we're going to see scoffers arise walking after their own lust. And we went through this last week, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Right, we'll see people coming up. They're going to be saying, nothing's changed since the beginning. Right? No, it's all the same. Don't worry. Jesus ain't coming. You will never see him because you're just going to lift up and float away. You'll never have to worry about any of this stuff. Scoffers. They're going to be scoffing at it. Lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 24. Lawlessness and iniquity is going to abound. Abound means it's going to be everywhere. In my lifetime, there was a time that laws meant something. You know, that the votes that you had actually carried weight. It doesn't.
You were afraid of laws.
Yeah. We respected. Yes, we respected the law. We respected the man with the badge. And we respected men with badges or people with badges all the way up until Obama took office. Right? And really, truly, that was the turning point where America stopped honoring law and order. Some really points that we can look at. But in the last times, this thing's going to abound. Lawlessness is going to abound. The most endangered species, human species, on the face of the planet is anybody who's friends with the Clintons. Okay? If you're Hillary Clinton's buddy, and you know stuff on her, you all of a sudden seem to hang yourself by your 4-foot bed and a 6-foot man in prison. A lot of people that they knew that they were good friends with died really weird deaths, right? So, anyhow, that was just another poor excuse to humor. But you see, the more money you have, the more authority you have, the less law has over top of you. Right now, what we're seeing is people who are putting these mandates on top of the working class, the real Americans. You can't go out without masks, you can't meet in bars, you can't do this, you can't do that. But we're seeing that the politicians are doing all those things that they're telling us not to do. We can't have our hair cut unless we're Pelosi. And we can go get our hair cut anytime we want. You can't go out and eat with your family in a restaurant unless you're some other congressman or You know, and then you can go do that, and no problems, right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing lawlessness, and that is lawlessness, and it's abounding. It's going not just here, all over the world. There's no standard of law or standard of morality anymore, right? There used to be in our day and time. Any thoughts on that?
There's no fear of God.
No fear of God.
If you take away fear of God, then there's just not going to be.
Absolutely.
Every man knows what is right
in his own eyes. Yes. And those are things, those are signs that that this 70th week has begun. Right? You don't see these things until, and it says in the church there'll be a falling away. Alright? I remember when I was a kid and we went to church. Everybody went to church.
Yes.
I remember when I was a kid, on Sunday, nothing was open. Nothing was open. I remember when I was a young adult, on Sunday, you couldn't buy alcohol. Even though the stores were open, you couldn't buy alcohol on Sunday. Those days are long gone, right? This falling away of the righteousness of God. We've raised up a generation now that fears not God. We saw that in the book of Judges, what happened after Joshua passed away and all the elders that came over with him into the promised land, then rose up a generation that feared not God. And then God started judging and chastening Israel in a way that they had never chastened them before because they stopped believing in the Lord Jesus Christ or believing in the Word of God. Jesus talks about false teachings and false teachers will be widely expanding. All right, we know that from 1 John that many antichrists had come out way back then. Right? 1 John says, and I know this, that many antichrists have already come out from amongst us. We know that they were not part of them. They were not of us because they came out from us. So we know that that way back even in John's time, there were false teachers going on. Paul said, know this, that when I'm departed, that many will come teaching another gospel, another doctrine. All right. Well, that started back then, and it hasn't stopped. It's just grown worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Right now, we got so many people on the planet calling themselves prophets. I'm a prophet this, I'm a prophet that. And we're going to see in the Revelation when we get there on the next page here some of those things that are laid out that are just mind-boggling that goes along with this. So false teachers, they'll be mildly expanded. Departing from the faith. Departing from the faith in Jesus Christ, no fear in God, right? You're going to see that in that 70th, the beginning of the 70th week, that the church is going to stop believing the Word of God. We're going to believe anything else but the Word of God. God says, Jesus said, the Bible states that there will be God will send a strong delusion because they love not the truth, as Paul wrote that, 2 Thessalonians. A strong delusion that the people of faith, the people who are supposed to be believing in Jesus Christ, are going to fall away and believe the lie. Alright, they're going to believe the prophets instead of the Word of God. That's why Jesus said, do not be deceived. Right? He said that three times at the beginning of Matthew 24. Just bring that out. Don't be deceived. Because there will be false teachers, false prophets coming. Don't be deceived. Well, in the beginning of Daniel's 70th week, we're going to see a lot of people accepting these doctrines of devils. Go ahead.
Well, and we could be seeing the beginning of that because if you read some Facebook, the churches who say, come gather with us online.
Yeah.
That's that's not gathering, but that's
no.
Okay. You're doing your own
that's
thing.
That's not assembly.
No, that's not assembly.
That's already the false.
Amen.
That's a start.
That's a start. And never before has the body of Christ in a mass been shut down before. As a group of people. I mean, even in Roman times the church still met. Underground, but they still met. Right? They still came together and met. Now we're in this technocracy?
Technocracy.
We're in this technocracy now where people are believing what they see and not what we read from the Word of God.
Which shows you Christians are being deceived.
Amen.
But God is telling us, do not be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
right there, that's a perfect example of the beginning of deception.
Yes, absolutely. And so this is why, yes, sister?
Just a quick thought. So we don't want to be deceived. We want to gather, but people are saying they're trying to do the smart thing by not spreading germs to other people. Mm-hmm. So is it smart to gather? I think it is smart to gather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering how, I have family members that don't want to gather. They don't want to get
sick.
My sister would say, you are increasing your chances of getting the cold, like the virus. And I don't know why we think so differently, but...
Yeah.
So my point is, if that's their train of thought, and we're supposed to be gathering and not being deceived, they also don't want to spread germs. So
mm-hmm.
what is the smart thing to do? That's what I'm asking.
Okay, let's look at what the germs are. Okay, it is a virus, a COVID virus. COVID viruses have been around for a very long time. This virus is not unlike the Spanish flu in 1918. Right? It's not unlike that. It's not unlike the swine flu. It's not unlike MERS. We never stop gathering for any of those.
I agree.
Okay? The media, again, this one world order, the media and the governments around the world have spoken a lie, and if I repeat a lie long enough,
you believe it.
Yes.
Another thing is here, there was a fear of an unknown.
Yes.
Somebody can come in here and tell us we all have COVID. We don't have one symptom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, well, if we don't have one symptom, we may not be spreading any symptom. It's just someone feeding us this information that we're spreading a symptom. We're probably not spreading
anything.
So how do I get... Like, I'm just like concerned
for
other people that are trapped by this. But then if I say... Just go out, and if you get the cold, then I gotta feel responsible that my sister now is stressed that her daughter just, you know what, like.
There's a real simple thing. It's called the sovereignty of God. Okay, is God sovereign? Do they believe that God is sovereign?
They
that's
do.
Where I would start. All right.
Well, if you do, then how can you? That's where I go with it. If you believe.
There's the difference between seeking it and knowing it.
So I'm gonna share just a couple of real life examples this week that I heard about. So I was talking to Karen, okay, godly Christian woman or whatever. And there's a family member who has started hoarding up for her granddaughter, who's like 5, things up until the age of 10, okay? Shoes, clothing, because she said all the stuff is not, we're not going to be able to buy, we're not going to be able to sell all these things that are coming. So she's trying to store up for the next 5 years everything for her granddaughter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Karen was talking to me, she said, what do I tell her? How do I, like, this is like going to like an extreme, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, now, again, if we will just open God's word and look at the example from scripture that we have, nothing from the news, we have the Israelites for what? The Hebrews going through the desert for 40 years.
40 years?
Their shoes didn't go out. They were continuing some planning and some preparing, whatever. But there's a difference in that and then having a fear of what's going to happen. A fear the government's going to come in and take our shoes and the fear that we're not going to have clothes and the fear of all that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the problem is there's fear. Fear that where God says fear not. We fear God. We don't fear government, diseases, all of that. Okay?
Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5 not to be concerned about the things that the Gentiles are, food, clothing, shelter. Don't worry about those things.
And then
a second
example that I wanted to share. So our neighbor Lynn, the one who we were praying for her dad who's in the hospital right now, her daughter's a freshman over at Penn State. She got a call, the parents said a couple of days before Thanksgiving that they were not going to be able to let their daughter go because she was tested positive for COVID. Okay? So they had to quarantine her in the dorm room, and they were bringing food. So on Wednesday, they had to quarantine her for like 3 or 4 days at the minimum, and then mom could come get her. Mom went over to get her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Mom said, I'm taking her off campus to a clinic off of campus to get her tested. Went to got her tested. She was negative. No COVID or whatever. What another thing that's ending up happening, okay, the false positives and all that, she said she didn't have one symptom, no headache, no nothing that was bothering her, okay?
Yeah.
But they're doing that, and you may have heard of it, the group testing or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you do a test, and say all of us gather, and say one of us test positive. They're going to say that we, all 20 of us, or 10 of us, whatever, that we have it. So these numbers that we're seeing, too, mm-hmm. are completely skewed.
Yeah.
So if you're saying we're getting, what are they saying, 200,000 cases a day, throughout. If you take one and you magnify it times 20, okay, you're going to have these numbers that don't mean a single thing. You're not going to change people's minds, okay? Because
yeah.
even logic, talking logic, when people have bought into a lie,
yeah.
they're not going to believe it. Because they are deceived, because God says they're going to be deceived, and he says allow them to be deceived.
Yeah.
He gives them over. He
right.
lets people be
deceived. If God gives them over to a strong delusion,
they're not going to listen.
You're not. Nothing you're going to say is going to change their mind.
They love not the truth.
Yeah, because they love not
so
the truth.
Basically,
all
you can do is pray for them. You can't change their mind or reason.
Yeah.
One of the things I let people know is that most of these people, or a lot of these people who are getting sick and dying,
mm-hmm.
have covered up.
Yes.
God's first words was, man is not good to be alone.
Right.
And
no,
what
no,
they try
no,
to do, they want us to stay alone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, if I'm alone, then the wolf can take care of that sheep.
Right.
Okay?
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. But I want a little bit of every one of you because my body's fighting it. Right?
I need your germs. That's part of living in a communicable, as a group of people. We need each other's bacteria and antibiotics.
Make your immune system strong.
Yeah, make your immune system strong. Before Steve
jumps in, I just go back to everyday life.
Yeah.
Everyday life brings trials in our life, whether we're a baby mm-hmm. or whether we're at this age. And we make choices through our life.
Yeah.
Whether we walk out the door or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm self-satisfying going out the door. I heard this on the radio, it just clicked with me. If I'm self-satisfying myself, then when I can't do that, I become upset.
Right.
So I'm making myself the higher power.
James tells you that. Where did the word come from? When you lust, when you desire, you can't.
So it's a self-satisfying. When you get into a state of self-satisfying, that's when there's a problem. And we all do it.
Yeah.
We're sinners.
And that's why we're supposed to believe the Bible and follow the Spirit and not the flesh. All right? Because if we seek the Spirit, follow the Spirit of God, the things that the Bible says, then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That whole self-gratification thing. I feel safe. Right, because I'm wearing a mask. Where, from what I have seen, just observed, and I'm no scientist, but just observed, the folks who wear the mask are the ones who get sick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, by far. All right, by far, the ones who are all masked up and they're breathing in their own stuff that is supposed to go out and die in the air. Right, it's supposed to leave your body, and you're just sucking it back in, and it's getting stronger and doing things. Those folks who are afraid of that, and they call themselves Christians, and I'm not doubting that, but they're going to be willing and eager to take the vaccine. I can't wait till the vaccine comes out. Where we also, they just came out and said that if you take the vaccine, you still got a mask, and you still got to stay 6 feet apart. So, go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to add to what she was saying, where when somebody has COVID, everyone in that circle with that person is targeted.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is they're asking the person who has the COVID to give all the names of the people that they were in contact with. So this is how they're adding to those. One other thing I just want to add to that is whenever they come up with a lie, which they are with the COVID, they always have some underlying purpose for them.
Right.
And we know the underlying purpose leads to the vaccine. That's what
yes.
we're talking
about. Go ahead, Seth.
That you showed what Nancy said about that person that got COVID, about what she said. In World War II, they made the... They got all the names out of all the churches about
yes.
of the Jewish people that went to that church.
Yeah. And in this, you're right. Now, when a body of Christ, right, accepted the government payout and shut down, when they opened their doors again, the folks who would come would have to sign a document, all right, and they would backtrace who have you been around. All right, Kevin, you're coming to church. We'd love to see you. Wear your mask, wear your rubber booties and stuff. And but we've got to know who you're with, how long you're with them, and where you might need to get names and addresses of all the people that you know.
These are churches.
Those are churches.
So, which brings me to a question then. So, and I think I kind of touched on this a few weeks ago. So let's just take, for example, say I get caught. I don't know. Who were you with? I honestly have to tell you, I'm probably going to lie and say I was not with anybody. But then I go back to an example in the Bible. Who was it? Was it Rahab? She hid the spies. You know, so they wouldn't get. Are there times? I'm not going to turn any one of you in if I get caught. I just am not. Okay, I was there by myself.
Yeah.
I mean, they can know I'm lying or whatever, and I'm just. You might think God himself did.
Yes, absolutely. I've been with the Lord. And so these are the times that we're seeing. And up until this generation, the one that we're living in, that we're all part of right now, these things have never been, technology has never been to the point to do the things that they're doing until right now. 16 years ago, they could have not done this. Just 16 years ago. And you know, because that's when cell phones started becoming popular, when there were still flip phones. Right? And all you could do is barely text because you had to, if you got to see, you had to hit 83 times. Mm-hmm. Right?
Did you say that? You said before that all these masks you wear anyway, they don't actually work.
No, they do not.
Except for the one that you got.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most people aren't going to get that.
Right. And so what Mike is saying, and this is very true, all right, anybody who's ever worked underneath the authorities or guys in OSHA, right, and you go to a place where there's spray paint being handled, what kind of mask are you forced to wear? Both facial and the filters on the outside, right? If you were in any kind of gas area working under the street, there's a different type of mask for that, right? And so they have like 15 different qualities of masks. And the most deadly disease on the planet since the world has ever begun, and they have the very least effective mask mandate for it. The diaper over your face, it cannot stop any good essence.
So there was a phone catcher that I filed, and he said that he was going to visit someone who was dying in the hospital. It was in Iowa, I think, or Montana, I don't know. And anyways, they handed him a mask when he walked in to the hospital, so they put it on. When he got up to the floor where the patient was, they said, take off your mask. And he said, you told me I had to wear a mask. They said, those don't work. And they gave him a different mask. And they're handing him off to the bottom floor.
Okay. And so, the thing is that no mask, short of a full face respirator, would be able to stop this particular virus because of the simple size of it. All right, now doing just some mathematical things, right? We, and many of us don't know this, but a micrometer, you know what the size of a micrometer is? It takes 400 micrometers to make the size of one human head. All right, 400 micrometers. A nanometer, it takes 10,000 nanometers to make one micrometer. The virus is 0.05 nanometers. Wearing a mask is like trying to stop the ocean with a screen door. It just doesn't work. And anyhow, but the media tells you that, the government tells you that, the hospitals tell you that, the teachers tell you that, the professors tell you that, and the world now, they've done this to where we are now at the point where we're turning on each other, the love of many is waxing cold, we're hating one another, we're desiring to be separated from each other in a way that has never, ever happened.
And pastors are telling us this too.
Yes, and pastors are telling you this. Right? Churches, places. Yeah, go ahead.
The Bible says, "Fear God."
Amen.
Not fear everything else.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're fearing every man.
We're fearing everything else but God. Yeah. Right. And if we really believe that God is sovereign, and we really believe that it's appointed unto man once to die and then comes to judgment, that lets me know that no matter how or when I die, it's God's sovereign will. If I was to die on a certain day, then I'm going to die on that day, whether it be a COVID or a train wreck or a comet, which just split between right here. And y'all know that we had a meteor between Rochester and Syracuse just last week.
Thursday. Yeah.
Thursday. And a big sonic boom, all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, so that rock could have fell out of the sky. If it was my day to die, it would have smacked me right in the gill. And I would have died.
Your heart can stop.
Your heart can stop. Brain aneurysm. Okay? And we're fearing something that is not seen so much that we're willfully being locked up for that. Unfortunately, not many pastors, not many churches, not many Christians are believing this. We are believing doctrines of demons. Yes.
You can see that it's at the base of it, it's all psychologically working.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's all psychological.
It's a trauma-based mind control.
Yeah.
They've got people fearing. They're thinking out of fear. They're not thinking rationally. Cogently, the higher intellect are thinking out of fear. And they're just... And it can bring in the back of that. It can bring in all this stuff that's taking place in the government.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Yeah.
And you have basically the end of our representative republic.
Yes.
You have a capo in Albany who gives an order.
Yeah.
You're going to do it this way, and you do it.
Right.
I mean, we have truly lost so much.
Yeah.
It's all was predicated on the spirit.
And it comes right back to this, the new world order. And the presence of power in the air. Remember that we were in Revelation the other day or the other week, and that ten-headed dragon. And where did the dragon, or seven-headed dragon with the ten horns and all that, where did he get his power? Where did the heads get their power from? The dragon. Where did they get their authority from? The dragon. Where did the New World Order get all of its authority from to shut down the world and have everybody wear a mask?
The dragon.
What I believe is going to be our new president, Harris, her vice president, Biden, all right, said right straight up that when he is in office, the first thing he's going to do is a 100-day mandatory mask law. No matter where you are, in your own home, in your own bed, at night by yourself, if you got to wear a mask.
He also said 8 months ago there was going to flatten the curve for 2 weeks.
Right.
That's all 3 days? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, yes.
One time, I remember she was in the class, he came with his golden war and was wearing his mask, and he said that he got from the Home Depot, and it had these holes right here.
when I go to a store and you're being forced to wear a mask or you're being shamed because you don't wear one, I wear my turkey hunting mask, which is really just a camouflage nest. Okay, because I can't breathe with that thing on my face, all right? And so I wear it to make other people feel more comfortable. You know, and because God doesn't say, thou shalt not wear a mask. What he does say is, don't separate each other. Don't stop coming together, Hebrews chapter 10, by the grace of God. We'll get into that. So when all of these things are happening, there's a resulting thing, and this is where we left off last week. So we've talked for an hour on what we talked about. Now we're going to start talking about the new stuff. Now, resulting in, when these things happen, there's certain things that happen. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and verse 12 and 14. Anybody feel led of the Lord to read that? That'd be great.
Second Timothy.
3:1-7 and 12:14.
This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, or heading high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Right. Let's stop right there just for a second. Let's go over that list. All right. When you see that list, when this new world order, when the scoffers, when the lawlessness, when they willingly fall away, when they give in to false doctrines, when they start pulling in, departing from the faith, what happens? First thing, perilous times begin. All right? People become lovers of themselves. Haughty or high-minded. Boasters. Proud. Arrogant. Right? And you see that, and he's not talking about the world. Paul's writing to Timothy about the church. These will be happening in the body of Christ because of the falling away, moving into false doctrines. Now, the world has always been those things, right? The world has always been self-absorbed. The world has always been doing things for and by themselves, stepping on the small man to get a little bit higher. They have always been that way. But when it starts happening in the church, when other Christians start hating you because you do not believe the lie, let you know, those are perilous times. Jesus said in the last days, daughters against brothers, or daughters against sons, or whatever, and the whole family. Now, he may have been talking about a physically family, but how about the body of Christ? You're my brother. The people at Open Door are my brother. Right? When they find out that I'm preaching on a Sunday unmasked, they hate me.
Which despisers of those that are good.
Absolutely.
And,
well,
that says that does, doesn't it? Like,
you can see how things are going to turn.
Yeah.
They're calling evil good and good evil. Evil all is one.
And these are some of the evidences that we are rolling into this Daniel 70th week. There are things happening in the body of believers that have never happened before. Okay? And I mean, yeah, there may have been one or two folks that turned in other Christians, you know, back in the Roman days or something like that. But the real church never did this to each other. We never hated each other. We're told over and over to love one another, to prefer the church. I'm supposed to prefer, take you above my natural family. Uh-huh. Right? That's we've given away the doctrines of devils. The devil says fear. God says don't fear.
You know, the world is always, Christians who go to church or attend church, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Though there are those who are, let's say, outside of the body of Christ who have despised that. You know, oh, don't do anything. Let's go do this instead on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
There are going to be those who want to pull you away. They don't understand also, okay?
Yeah.
But now, in looking at this, you have Christians who despise that you're going to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And there's...
There
are that despisers of those that are
pastors
that despise that you're going to church on a Sunday morning.
There are
because
pastors
you should be doing what they're doing.
Yes.
Because you're disagreeing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Fear brings suspicion.
Yeah.
This is all fear driven.
Right.
So our natural consequences are going to be suspicious.
Yeah.
People are going to be looking at one another. You can see when people, when you're out in the street, you're out, just talk.
Yeah.
People look, you walk up to them and they're like, it's already happened. Mine's already gone.
Right.
You know, and I expect that behavior from people I know. I totally expect them to, you know,
But when
it happens in your family, your brothers and sisters, of course, that they're getting
married. Like Tammy was saying, she has relatives that she loves, that she knows, that now are shunning her, right, because she believes something outside of what they believe.
And the most amazing thing is, I may interject, is that in my in-laws, I'm talking about, one of them was a doctor, a retired doctor now, and literally, that I don't think they can. It doesn't matter how smart you are.
No.
No.
I mean, it's wisdom. Wisdom and intelligence are two different animals.
And what does the Bible tell us over, pray for wisdom and understanding?
Wisdom.
Those
you got
are two
it.
Things we are so God only oh, I remind you of that.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not talking about seriously intelligent people.
Yeah.
And they don't get it.
No, they
don't.
They can't
get
bring them. Themselves
they
down.
You have to humble yourself in order to do that, and you can't do that.
You know what I see, Curtis, before you go? I see a misunderstanding of Peter.
Yeah.
When it says that you should obey the authority of
yeah.
But where the misunderstanding comes is God also says, do not stop meeting, So you have to obey the government to a point. But that verse says that we still need to be.
Finish that verse when they do God. Obey the government when they're doing good.
Right.
When the government tells me to do something bad, the government tells me I got to kill my neighbor, the government tells me I got to turn my neighbor in, the government tells me I need to start living off of them and not by the sweat of my own brow.
Right.
Don't follow the government.
Right.
All right? When the government.
The answers are, they're using the adversity, don't they?
What is the verse that says obey the government?
It's Romans 13, and it's also Peter. First Peter's, yeah, go ahead, look it up. But Romans 13 talks about it, and Peter talks about it. While y'all were looking that up, in verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, small g, okay? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They have a form, the churches have a form of godliness, but they're denying the sovereignty of God.
It's
Romans 13,
1
through 7.
Yes,
look
at what.
There's
a lot of
imposters
out there.
There's a lot of imposters out there. And he says that this type, the type that turned away, the type that have a form of godliness and to deny the power, we're not supposed to be a part of them. Turn away from that false doctrine of devils. And this here is a gleaning between the tares and the wheat. All right, this is me making my mind up. I'm believing what the Bible says, and damn everybody else. All right, that sounds harsh coming from the Catholic who says the D word. All right, but seriously, we need to take this with a realness, with an urgency, to do away with those with that. We need to strengthen that which remains by the grace of God next week, because I don't think we'll get through this week. Next week we'll get into the churches. And the Revelation will be unveiling that, looking at it. And so these are the sort, all right, the ones who don't creep away, the ones who have a form of, they are the sort which creep into houses and leave captive silly women. Why do you think Paul said silly women, not stupid men?
Because women are more easily deceived, we believe easily.
You follow your heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Women have this beautiful capacity, and it is wonderful. They are filled with compassion that most men don't have. You see a wounded puppy, you want to save it. I see a wounded puppy, I want to squish its head.
No.
I really do.
Put it out of its misery.
Put it out of its misery. Right? You don't think it, but you can ask Steve. I've done it a few times. And so I have no concern. I'm not real fluffy.
No, women are nurturers. None of them are. You're digging yourself out.
Yeah.
Very careful.
And so men are supposed to be not easily taken in. The only thing that really fools me, and you can ask my wife, what really gets me real quick is a wounded woman. Right?
Right.
I will immediately drop all common sense and go help a lady who needs a hand. Absolutely. Where if it's a guy who needs a hand,
protection.
Yeah, it's change your own tire. I don't care. You know, it's just none of my business. All right? But if there's a woman out there, and I mean, danger Will Robinson, danger stranger, I don't care. I'll put all that aside and I'll go help that lady. And it's just me. I think it's most men are like that. But anyhow, he says, they creep into the houses and leave captive silly women. Creep into your houses. How many silly women watch that view?
And soap operas.
And soap operas. Yeah, what is it? Have your way with my wives. Right? Or as the stomach churns. Right? All of those soap operas, that's all I've been with today. My mom used to watch them all, right? As the stomach, or as the world turns, and have your way with my wives. All of that. Yeah, it doesn't matter. There was all those things, but my wife, she was my wife, I wasn't married to my mom. But my mom and my grandma, I mean, they would sock that stuff up. Stop doing whatever, because we got to watch that. And so anyhow, they creep into houses and leave silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah.
Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
I think that's what I've been my entire saved life.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I accepted the Lord as my Savior when I was 24, 25, and I learned and learned and learned and learned, but I never came to the knowledge of the truth. Again, and that's why I think the word for this year and for COVID, because I think I'm finally coming to the truth, not just learning.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are in that.
Yes. Yeah. It's not about how many scriptures you learn. Satan does not care. You can memorize the whole Bible from cover to cover. That doesn't scare Satan. That doesn't bother the enemy at all. But those who read all those scriptures and never are able to apply the scripture in a real life manner and know what time it is.
But I don't believe that verse is saying that women can't grasp the truth.
Here you go. Read all the adjectives there. Silly women laden with sins.
Yeah.
Okay. And with diverse, brightest lusts. Yeah. All right.
I know a lot more about the Bible than a lot of men.
Yeah. And that's because men stop trying. Go ahead.
Well, I don't think he's trying to say that much about the women.
Those are the sort that creep into houses and could possibly entrap. But I don't think an understanding, like Asha was saying, it took her all these years to understand. My mother, oh my goodness, she knew her Bible better than some of these pastors out there when I was a little girl. So I don't think it had anything.
I'm talking about like a hard knowledge for me. Like I think I've had such a book knowledge, that I'm getting a hard truth now.
I can understand that because there are two different categories.
It's the difference of having the wisdom.
Come on.
And the knowledge.
Yes.
So you have the knowledge, and now you're gaining the wisdom through the teaching.
And I don't think I've ever prayed for wisdom as much as I have now either. You know, God told us if we pray for
that's huge, right?
He will give it to us. Mm-hmm. So we have to ask and pray for wisdom, and we have to seek it. And
recognize it when it's there. Because the scripture hasn't changed. The same scripture you read at 25 is the same scripture in front of you right now. Okay, the difference is you're looking under, you just looked at the onion and didn't unveil it, didn't unwrap it.
I think a lot of times with me is I have thought to me.
Come on with that.
Word thought, I understood, but I didn't have any wisdom behind it. And your wisdom is so important when you gain the wisdom of that knowledge that we have. How do you use that to guide us?
Beholding himself at rest, forgetting what manner of men
they are. Yes.
They look at the Word of God.
See their face in the mirror.
They turn, they walk the way and forget what manner of man.
Yeah.
And, look, and if I do the work, then it's going to take fruition.
Go ahead, Al.
The definition of silly woman here says these women apparently, because of sin, were changeable of mind, prone to accept new ideas and swayed by impulses.
Ooh. And that's not just women, those are people. There are a lot of men in the church right now that are being swayed by influences. Wear the mask. Okay? That's being swayed by an influence. Follow a particular Bible teacher that may not be teaching the Bible. Okay? Swayed by the influences. Some of the doctors that are in the world, right? It's okay to love the one you're with. If you can't have the one you love, then love the one you're with, right? And that is a false, it's a doctrine of the devil, right? Don't be giving your body away to nobody until you get married, all right?
Have we discussed what that verse is saying? Isn't that verse saying that men beware?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beware of the men who creep into houses and are led captive by silly women.
Of this sort, no. They have a form of yes. So you go back to verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things which are good. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's huge. They have a form of godliness but they're denying the sovereignty of God. Right? Of this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away by diverse lusts. All right.
Well, the men started out as these are men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, go through all of these.
You can see that this is mankind. Yeah. It's not just because you have
But they separated. They separated from men to silly women.
People are lovers of themselves.
Absolutely.
People are covetous.
Those are the
people
works
are
of the flesh.
Right,
out.
But the men are the leaders of the church.
Should be. Yes.
Well,
yes. Amen. Yes. Yes.
The Bible's talking to the men.
Yeah.
Okay. And these are the men who are left their guard down, left their post, and now they're taking the other side.
Yeah.
We're a nation of Christians, a Christian nation who let an Islamic leader lead them, and now we're where we are today.
Yeah. Well, that's the short version. You've got to go back a little bit
further. Exactly. Well, I understand.
That's the thing. Tam, you had something?
I just was thinking the men, like you're saying, are the leaders of the household, thinking. And so, but women can be influential.
Amen.
So we influence the man who loves us, and we may be, they need to be stronger and say, if I was like, we need to wear masks, my husband should say, we fear the Lord, and we're not going to, or something of that nature.
Amen. You're right. The woman says, I'd rather not go to church. The man says, no, we're going to church.
Right.
All right?
I mean, does that work like that?
It's supposed to work like that. Yes. Yeah. It really is. And the husband's supposed to set the tempo and the mood of the house. One thing that Dr. James Dobson did a great study about what happens when a father goes to church, and a father and a husband and wife go to church and raise up children, or if just the mother goes to church and brings the children. 95% of the children that only the mom went to church, the children fall away. Okay? But when the father and the mother go to church, or the father goes to church and worships the Lord, over 50% of those kids stay. All right.
The man has a lot of responsibility.
It really is.
He's commanded to love.
Amen.
You're not commanded to love.
Amen. you're just commanded to reverence. You're just commanded to respect
the
reverence.
It's like the man dropped the ball, and this is what happens to the woman he's not.
Way back in the very beginning. Adam.
Yeah.
God didn't show up and say, Eve, what in the world are you doing, girl? No, Adam.
Yeah.
Adam, where art thou?
Yeah.
Because he should have known that.
Yeah.
When, if you read that account in Genesis, actually Adam was with her when she was being tempted. And he didn't do nothing.
No. And he chose her.
And he chose
over
her.
God.
Right.
Which men do.
Amen.
We can you guys all the time.
Absolutely. There's a whole Cheech and Chong album. Okay? It's the most powerful force on earth. If you don't know what that is, go look it up. Tactical Women's Alert Team. Y'all do the thing.
Like I've always said, all Adam had to do was say, no, I'm not going
to
do this.
All Adam had to do is, when she was being tempted, to stand up to the serpent.
Yeah.
And say, this far and no further, thus saith the Lord God, we shall not eat of that tree.
And they mean get killed in the serpent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had authority over everything in the garden. He could have done it. So you're right. It is the men that dropped the ball. Amen. All the way back from Adam until now.
Yeah.
Okay, but men, well, again, in that same curse that the woman shall desire the man. That's not a physical desire. Desiring the station of the man to be the head of the house. All right, and so many women are forcing themselves to be the head. And so many men have been neutered, castrated, alright, by society, that we don't really lead. We don't know how to lead anymore because we suck.
Again, God's given the whole pattern.
Yeah.
Men are to love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they love and give himself up for her as Christ did for the church.
Yeah.
It would all depend on the women are, I think, more willing to submit. It all flows in order. If they're doing what they're supposed to do, then the women,
mm-hmm.
I think, will come along and follow.
Because way down here,
I agree with that.
It is accepting the doctrines of demons. Men stop fighting for the women, so the women just go. Women want to be led.
Mm-hmm.
God put it in them. And men are supposed to be leaders. God put it in us. But we have been, because of the women's movement, the spirit of Jezebel, all right, started ruling in America in the 1960s.
1950s, 1960s. But look at how our men taught to lead by the whole system. Being rough, being tough, being the
dad.
How does God lead?
Mm-hmm.
He's a servant. He
right.
loves. He
yeah.
still leads. But look at the example of how
right?
he leads.
Yes.
He doesn't
does,
lead with an iron fist.
In our family, I don't rule her, okay? I defend her. I don't tell her what she can spend money on, what she can't spend money on. You know, unless it's like something stupid, you know, and not stupid. I mean, there's some things that are just all right. And I've never, ever told my wife what to do. You know what I did do? Is I did the right thing. I followed God. I never told her she had to come to church. In fact, when we first got married, first got saved, started doing the church thing, she said, I don't want to go to church every Sunday. I said, fine,
well,
I'm going.
Oh,
my Wednesdays, but whatever. Yeah. I don't want to go to church all the time. I don't want to be one of those people.
What? You led by your example.
Yeah.
You serve your yes. You don't put rules upon them.
Yes.
But that's what happened. The
mm-hmm.
submissive. Wife, submit to your husband. Oh, my goodness.
What? It's the
number one misunderstood.
There's two scriptures. Amen.
The entire Bible.
Yes.
And men
yeah.
took that
yes.
and
yeah.
crushed.
Yeah.
Crushed it.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's where the women's lib movement started.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, women, and a lot of them, I mean, I know
this is a whole other study.
It really is a whole other study. But it is doctrines of demons.
No, yeah.
It is moving away from what God designed.
Exactly.
God designed an umbrella that works perfectly all the time.
Why do you still have young people who don't want to get married?
Yeah.
I know.
Why? But we have to think that isn't that all our fault,
yes.
we generate us?
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're seeing is not what they want to live.
I
they
would hate
to
be a teenage young man in this day and time with the Me Too movement. Before I can take a girl to get a hamburger, I need to have her write a contract out. You know? Because if I, by mistake, reach over and try to grab the ketchup at the same time, I'm going to have our hands touched.
They can't believe their hugs.
I know, yeah. It doesn't even matter. And again, that led into huge amounts of pornography.
Yeah.
you talk to young men right now, say, I don't want to go mess with a girl. I'd rather wash it on.
Yeah.
You know? And that perversion, now, folks, is doctrines of demons. And the result of that is that perilous times will come, and you see that list of things, and we got all on this one part right here of that. There's a whole, you got to look at the big picture of it. All right? And then persecution will grow worse and worse. 12 through 14 right here talks about the persecution. Because there's a clear-cut divide between righteous and unrighteous. Go ahead, Sense. Did you have anything? No. Alright, and in that, when we truly desire to follow God, the world is going to hate you. When you truly desire to love people the way that Jesus did, Jesus said, know this, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. The servant is not better than his master. And again, doctrines of demons. Oh, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you'll never have a problem. Everything's going to be rainbows and unicorns from now on out. Bible doesn't say that. Anywhere.
Verse 12, what was next?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Mm-hmm. Now look at the descriptive thing, the rule there. Those who live what?
Godly. In Christ Jesus.
There you go. Godly in
right.
The real Christians. The ones who live like Jesus did. The ones who love like Jesus did. The ones who are willing to pour their lives out like Jesus did. The ones who do that, the world's going to hate you enough to kill you.
There's a lot more of the lukewarm Christians in there also.
By the grace of God, next week we'll get out of this, or we'll get into the other one. The next page is all about the church. I mean, this next thing, right over here, I'm just giving a sneak peek. This right here, the cons, I look pros and cons, I cross pros out. The cons of the seven churches, we'll get into pros the week after that. And so we'll go through this, the loveless church, the one who left their love, the persecuted church, the worldly church, the wrong doctrine church, the spiritually dead church, part alive church, and the lukewarm church. And we got gobs of that. All right, but all of that is in, those are descriptive things for what the church is looking like during the 70th week of Daniel. That's what the body of Christ appears to be. Now, of course, there's a way out of all of that, and that goes into Revelation also. After this here, the perilous time comes, 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 22, describes what the falling away actually looks like as the little horn arises. This is what the apostate church, these are the descriptive things that you can know whether you're in a church that's preaching the word or a church that's apostate. And if you've never read 1st and 2nd Peter, I need to add one book in there with you, Jude. Yeah. And so because 1st and 2nd Peter, they marry into Jude. Like fingers in a glove. I mean, it's
especially 2 Peter chapter 2.
Yes, absolutely. Which we're going to, that's the whole chapter right there, 1 through 22. We got time. Somebody pop the top. And pray some of this in.
What's with prayer?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no. Oh, we got time. It ain't time to quit, it's time to go.
Time to read.
2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 22.
Read the whole chapter?
Well, the whole thing's good. We might stop halfway in between. Anybody, when he's reading that, if the Spirit of God says, stop right there! Right? We'll stop right there. Anyhow, go ahead.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell,
and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, may be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Osor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried through the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallow into the fire.
Amen. So, in that chapter, describes a lot what the church looks like in the last days. Alright? These are the ones who give into false doctrine. These are the ones that are trusting the words of man over the words of God. These are people that are moving away from what the Bible says into some commentary. Commentaries, although they may be good for extra studies and stuff like that, but as a whole, most commentaries are just people's opinion about what the Bible says. And y'all have heard me say this a lot, and I'll say it again. Opinions are like the backside of you with a crack in it. Alright? Everybody has one. Smart people keep them covered up. Alright? Everybody's got that crack? You need to keep it covered up. Everybody has their opinion. If your opinion is outside the confines of the umbrella of God, don't give it. Facebook is of the devil. Alright? Because you give your opinion and not fact. Alright? Those are some... Just let me jump off my soapbox there. There are false prophets among the people, and as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring a damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring themselves into swift destruction. Alright? Doctrines of demons. Bringing in damnable heresies. What do you think a damnable heresy that's being taught in the churches today? Just one. There's thousands of them, but think of one.
Easy believism.
Easy believism. Yep, salvation that costs you nothing.
God loves
everyone. Yeah. Those that's a damnable heresy.
Once saved, always.
Once saved, always. Now, that's going to upset some apple carts, right? Because they've always believed, once saved, always saved. But when we get into the Revelation, we look into these churches, Jesus says, I'll come and take your candlestick away from you. I will cast you into the pit with the whore. I will do that. He's talking to the churches. He's not talking to the world. All right? There's dozens of scriptures that we can go to, but some of the damnable heresies is one which I really think is a great danger is that we would not see the rising of the little horn before the church is taken out.
Pre-trib rapture.
Pre-trib rapture. Okay, and there's a lot of people that believe that they're wholehearted, amen. And I'm not here to change anybody's opinion about that. But we do see in the study of the Revelation, we'll get into that as we finish unfolding this, which we've got a long way to go. We're just going a little cracks right here. Some of these damnable heresies. Here's one. You've got to be baptized to be saved. Mm-hmm. All right? You've got to speak in tongues to be saved. Mm-hmm. You got to pray to the saints. You know, you got to confess your sins to the priest. If you don't wear a hat on your heads, ladies,
Corinthians,
right? That's damnable heresy. That has nothing to do with your salvation. You can't preach unless you wear a tie. I was going to Open Door Baptist Church. They wouldn't even let me be an usher unless I had a tie on. Show me that in the Bible. Jesus wore sandals and a robe. He wore a skirt.
If I'm not... Correct me if I'm wrong, it even says, come in your bedroom.
Yeah.
You want me to come?
Yeah. Amen.
Wear a tie.
Wear a tie. All right? Those are heresies that stop believing the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That's a damn. God says three times, I hate that. Does anyone know what that is? If God says, I hate it, didn't you think God know what it is? What is it, Mike? You said, louder than anyone else.
Nico means above.
Yep, Nico.
And Radiant means above.
Feel like you're above and above. So it's above. Above and beyond.
A lot of pastors. I'm the only one who knows the scripture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you must listen to me. I'm the only one who knows how to rightly divide the word of truth. All of you people. Kiss my ring. Lift my boots. Right?
Yeah.
I wasn't going there. Alright? But those are damnable heresies. And they're not only people are believing those damnable heresies, so those who believe that kind of stuff, where are they going? If you're going to be damned, where do you go if you make a new
revelation? That's the swift destruction.
Mm-hmm. Swift destruction. Alright? So on that day of judgment, how swift is that destruction? When you breathe your last breath here on earth and you believe something, and you believe it wholeheartedly, you can be a Mormon, you can be a JW, you believe it, you can be a Muslim, believe it whole, or a Buddhist, believe it with all of your heart.
Doesn't make it true.
Doesn't make it true. Who was the one who wrote the book in 1984?
Door.
How many fingers do you see? I tell you, it was five on the government. All right? And they tortured that man until he saw five fingers. Believing damnable heresies. I tell you that unless you're baptized, you can't be saved. How many fingers? I tell you that you've got to perform the sacraments or you'll never get to heaven. How many fingers? Okay, that you've got to do religion my way. Right? Four or five. The Bible is really plain about those things. But there'll be those who teach it, and there'll be those who believe it wholeheartedly. I've got to blow up and exterminate the non-believers. Right? And so I'm going to strap TNT to my body and I'm going to walk into buildings and kill people. Why? So I can have 70 virgins when I go to heaven. Actually, the real translation of that is that you get one virgin that's 70 years old. Sorry. You know, but they believe that. They believe that if you're good enough, if you're good enough on this planet, and you wear the holy underwear, you know the Mormons have holy underwear. When you reach a certain place, they give you a certain undergarment that you wear, and that makes you holy. That's damnable heresies, all right? And I'm not picking on Mormons. Not picking on GWs, I'm not picking on Catholics. We can do that with Baptists also. Baptists are teaching damnable heresies.
The teaching works salvation.
Works salvation.
No, that's Nazarene.
Yeah, Nazarene.
That's
Nazarene. Okay. And so those are damn, and not only are they sending themselves to hell, everybody who's believing the lie is being sent to hell. And their destruction will be swift. And we say, well, gee, it's not swift. They've been teaching Mormonism for a long time. I mean, it started right up over here, Mount Cumorah, right? Joseph Smith walking along, picking up acorns, right? An angel of light appeared to him, scared him to death. That's funny. Every time I see an angel in the Bible, and folks are scared, what do they say right to start with? Fear not. This angelic host did not tell him to fear not. In fact, it nearly killed him. They showed him some golden tablets that nobody could see but him. It's very funny because Muhammad had the same experience.
Luther did too.
Luther handled it a little bit differently.
Right?
Yeah. And so, and verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken evil of. Yeah. Alright? The folks who believe the false doctrine, many shall believe their pernicious ways, destructive ways. Many will believe, because the son of perdition is destruction, the son of perdition. Many that will believe their destructive ways shall by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken evil of. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. How many people hate you when you really stand on? You can't get to work, huh?
Yeah, because it says the way.
Yes.
And the world says, no, there are many ways.
In India, they have 10,000s of gods, right? Thousands and thousands of gods. And they don't care which god you worship until you worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll kill you for that. When you stand up in their belief system, you say, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to Nirvana. Nirvana, get to the final resting place without going through him. They will kill you for that. Other belief systems says you've got to believe the doctrine of that particular group. Mormons, you can't get to heaven. There is no hell. That's the doctrine of demons. What would be the best thing if I was the devil to get everybody to believe? There is no judgment. All dogs go to heaven, Walt Disney says.
Satan's greatest accomplishment is convincing people that he doesn't exist.
Yeah, absolutely. God will never judge you. Alright? You're born again believer of Jesus Christ. You'll never go underneath the judgment of God. Well, God judged the angels because they left their natural abode. He judged Jesus. Jesus was a just man and was judged for the sin of the world and was nailed to a cross. If God judged his only son because of the sin of the world, don't you think we'll stand before God in judgment?
White throne judgment.
There's that. There's the white throne judgment.
Yeah.
Everybody. Well, that's everybody's judgment. That's coming up to the second death. All right? But how about when every man will be judged according to whatever he said? You'll be judged by the words out of your own mouth. Teaching false doctrine, you'll be judged. Don't you know that no liar, no coward, this is Revelation 20, verse 18, lays down some principles. Galatians, I think it's chapter 6, lays out the works of the flesh. Anybody practicing such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 1, anybody who agrees with anybody who does such things will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Do you think that's not judgment? Just believing the lie. The seven churches that we'll go over next week, or we'll start on next week. I don't know if we'll go over it, but we'll definitely bump into it a little bit.
Which brings us back to Asha. James, pray for wisdom.
Yeah. Amen.
And if you
yes.
Put on
the armor. And what is the armor of God? It is not an it. The armor of God is a person. It is the person of Jesus Christ. Because I have no righteousness that I can hide behind. I have no shield of faith that I can call my own. Even the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is not my sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. Oh. But we're not taught that in 99% of the churches. 99% of the churches in America right now today are teaching false doctrine. That's why Jesus, when he said, when I return, shall I even find faith on the earth? Why? Because of the strong delusion that's being said, because they love not the truth. Amen. There it is. Amen. But when Jesus comes to call his church home, and I've said this before, he's probably only going to need a three-wheel bicycle. But he don't need a U-Haul. He's not going to need a Volkswagen. There are few, F-E-W, only a few that go.
Works for the grandmas.
Mm-hmm. So happy, are you a happy you're a crumb? Let me ask you, are you a crumb?
Yes.
I am a crumb.
You do.
Amen. I'm happy to be a crumb.
Amen. That's right.
But God, only through God, only through His love, and you even go through the God Spirit, not the angels. The angelic host, God, they sinned, and God did not spare them. If we openly accept a sinful lifetime, we have no promise of eternity with Christ. Amen. Right. Yeah. But there's a lot of people that go to a lot of churches that do a lot of things. A lot of people who prefer... go through the works of the flesh, alright? I'm not going to pull on one or the other. You know that in the Bible it says that no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God? Well, my friend, he accepted the Lord as a Savior, but he keeps shooting up heroin and shooting shots every day. He keeps drinking every day. No drunkard shall have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a drink. That's not what I'm saying. Alcoholics have no place in heaven. No liar. I know it makes a lot of people angry when you hear those things. But we'll go through it in Scripture. I can point out Scripture for every one of these things. People say, well, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but now I can sleep around on my wife. No adulterer will be welcome into the kingdom of heaven. No porn. Repeat after me and you'll be saved. That is a huge, huge doctrine of demon. No, you can't find that anywhere from Genesis to Revelation, anywhere in this book. Repeat after me and you'll be saved. Yes, my sister.
I'm just thinking one thing. I don't even know why I'm saying this. If pastors said, quoting that verse, no drunken will inherit the kingdom of heaven. If they taught why, like, I feel like God gives us laws for our benefit.
Amen.
Not for, not to, like, ruin our life and make it miserable and this and that.
Uh-huh.
These are good laws that would, so if it came across like, this will make life abundant, not we're going to keep you from going to a party. Like,
right. Yes.
But that's what, so I feel like it's brought to us in a,
it's to protect us, to give us an abundant
life. But I don't think I ever hear the two going together. It's just like, if you do this, you're not going to get that. If you don't, if you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I wish you came to your chair and just heard
it. I know.
But anyhow, I've taught this, right, about that very same thing. God put these laws as perimeters around us. Now, why do you put perimeters around your stock, your chickens or your goats or your cows? Why do you keep them in pens? To keep them safe. All right? It's safe on this side of the line. You get on this side of the line, you're in the danger zone. You can die over here. Over here, you have life and more abundant. And some of these things I've set out for you, don't lie, cheat, the Ten Commandments, right? Live in the attributes of God. I went through several years ago the Ten Commandments, and they're not just commandments, they're the attributes of God. God would never lie to you, he'd never cheat on you, he'd never do things dishonest to you in any way. So why do we do that to other people?
But why in general do we not want to follow these laws? Why in general do we not?
We have a sin nature. Yeah, we got a sin nature. Because Adam sinned, and he allowed that sin to come into the creation, because of that we have a bend in us that desires the lust of the flesh.
And we do not fear God.
There you go.
We do not fear him with that holy reverence.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have to be careful too, because there's a lot more than that. If you get angry, you're not going into heaven.
Amen.
So how many of us sitting here right now can raise their hand and say, I never get mad. I never get mad at my spouse. I never yell. So, I mean, contact.
Remember, you've got to live in that anger. Alright? You can also be, Jesus got angry. He kicked over some tables, made a whip, and drove out people.
Yeah.
Alright? So, anger is not necessarily a sin, but living in anger. Living in unforgiveness, because that's really what anger is.
I just wanted to expand on that, because...
Yeah, it's not that we stumble and fall, because guess what? How many have sinned come for the glory of God? Amen, sister. What you got? But she, every once in a while, she raises that hand, and these beautiful words of wisdom come out, and I don't want to miss any of them. And so we've got Judges. Noah, one of eight. Up in that point, there may have been billions of people on the earth. Noah, one of eight, did not die in the flood. Every human died, except for eight. It's a little harsh. You mean all of them were wicked? Yeah. And in fact, it says that he was perfect in his generation. Noah was the only human being on the planet at that point in time that did not have his DNA messed up by God. His genome was perfect. Didn't say that he was sinless. He was perfect in his genome, his generation, in his genes. He was God preserved the perfectness of his genome through him, right? Didn't say that the sons were perfect. Noah was perfect. Didn't say that the descendants of the sons were perfect. Noah was perfect in his genome. Jesus said, I'll come back as it was in the days of Noah, when the genome of human beings is being perverted. And he'll do it to save the remnant that do not get your genome messed up. It's almost 11 o'clock. We did get through it. We will finish it. We'll finish it because we don't have to get into this anytime soon. Because with that, I got these wonderful overhead things that go the book of the Revelation laid out in picture form, and how the Revelation and the book of Daniel tie in together. Which I can.
Pictures are good.
I like pictures.
They say 1,000 words.
They do.